Great evening. What can I say about this next woman that's going to come on? Oh my gosh. Welcome to the I'm Not Scared podcast. My mind is just flowing with everything that's getting ready to come at you at this time. This is the last Friday for the Black History Month, celebrating our history, celebrating our sisters, celebrating our journey. And I thought about how to introduce this woman. And what I can say to you are words. Because words have energy and power. And then when you hear her story, you'll understand why I said the things that I say. I'm going to start off with Miracle. You know that song, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Angels, perseverance, nothing but God, purpose, spirit-led, believe, grace and mercy, rebuilding life, crossroads, doubt, take care of yourself. We all have a story. Your life is not your own, and neither is your story. Jeremiah 29:11. My name is Dawn Cecile Benjamin. This young woman that is going to come on this evening, I call her Miss Fly Lady, is Dr. Shantrese Sims Holloman. Please, if you think of anything that you are supposed to do in this life, and you don't think that you can do it, listen to this woman's story. It will change everything. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
Great evening.
I'm so glad that you text, because in my head I had 6 p.m. and I looked at the thing and it says after 5 Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. Yeah. I'm glad I know how to read. Okay. And I just read that thing again. I said, oh, okay. Amen. All right.
I was getting ready to text you. But I can always edit this so we can talk for a little while. I was like, wait a minute. I went, because I made a schedule and everything to make sure I had the time right. So I said, are you sure? Wait a minute, Dawn. Maybe she's Pacific or
Central. No. Like, oh, I just read it wrong. No. I just read it wrong. That's all.
There is all. I love it. I love it. So you know what? Don't worry. Welcome. You know, I am so excited to talk to you.
Well, I'm excited too. It was on my, I have a whiteboard in my office where I write down all of the things that I have going on in the week. And this is the last thing that I have to do this week before I can focus on some other stuff. So I'm excited too.
Wonderful thing. Oh my goodness. And so let me tell everyone, first of all, and she will correct me, but I want you to welcome to the I'm Not Scared podcast, Dr. Shantrese Sims Holloman.
I love the way that you said doctor. I like that. That sounded good.
No, you got it. Listen, you worked for that. And I know you did. And I know people say, oh, you know, it's not title. It's not. No, we're not really title people. But you're a woman of God, because I read up everything on you. And when you go through channels and journeys in life, we have to give each other our flowers and due while we're here. So listen, I want to tell everybody right now, this woman, you're going to enjoy this talk, because she is truly a woman of God. She has a journey that she will tell you about. She's an educator. She's an author. She's a motivational speaker. Like I said before, she's a child of God. She has books that you must go on the website and purchase. The one that hit me the most, and then I went on and I saw others, was Shoes Without Feet, A Journey of Strength, Hope, Encouragement, and Success. And I got to tell you, that reminded me, and I'm telling everyone that I speak to about the bamboo tree. So you are truly a bamboo tree because of the resilience that I know that you have gone through in your journey. So without further ado, I don't even think I'm going to ask questions. I think I'm just going to let it flow tonight. And come on in.
Okay.
Okay. You can tell your own journey, and there's more to you, and that I know, but I just touched on it just a little bit. But if you would like, tell us a little bit more about you. However you want to start for Black History Month, you got it.
Okay. Well, first of all, let me just say that I am excited to be here. Just so that people know, Dawn and I have never met in person.
Hello.
It has all been virtual. She contacted me on Instagram, and we saw each other's faces one time. So, you know, we don't know each other, but from the first time that we had our conversation, I felt like you were one of my sister girls from back home. Like,
amen. Me too.
You sound just like my best friend, who was my older sister. I'm an only child, but she's from Brooklyn. And oh, so when you first started talking, I said, boy, she don't sound like, okay, Lord, I see what you're doing here. But my name is Dr. Shantree Sims-Holloman, and the only person that refers to me as doctor is my father. And that's simply because he is extremely proud. And it's very funny when he calls me on the phone and says, may I speak to Dr. Shantree Sims-Holloman? Yes, yes, hi, Dad, hi.
The whole name. Yep.
Yeah, my whole full government name.
Yes.
But I am originally from West Newton, Massachusetts, and but I live in the great state of Georgia, which is now a blue state, praise
yes,
the Lord.
It is. Yes,
and
it is.
I live in Southwest Atlanta here in Georgia. We call that the SWATs. And oh. I've actually lived here longer than I have lived back up north, to the degree that, you know, I say y'all and finna. And my father has informed me that I can no longer claim Massachusetts as home anymore because they don't say y'all in finna where I grew up, which is fine with me because, you know, I've been here for now. Wow. Now 25 years. Wow. I've been here 25 years. And so, yes, I am a Georgia peach through and through. My husband is from Georgia. My daughter was born in Atlanta, and so this is where we are. But my story is an interesting one. So up until the age of 45, I wouldn't say that I really had much of a story. It was, you know, I, you know, went to school and went to college and, you know, made some mistakes and, you know, did all the things that go along with, you know, just living life. You know, you learn lessons and you progress and you move
yes.
forward. So I celebrated my 45th anniversary with my husband and my daughter and her then boyfriend and my parents, and it was wonderful. 3 months later, I woke up March 23rd, 2018. I woke up with chest pains, and I honestly thought that it was gas because I had had a cheesesteak before I went to bed the night before. And so I just figured that I was having really bad gas. And so I said, well, let me just go get a ginger ale. Let me go down here in Georgia. We call them this a ginger ale called a Red Rock, which is
wow.
this really strong ginger ale. I drink them because I like them. But most people, you know, if you have an upset stomach,
upset
they drink
stomach,
them
yes.
for like medicinal purposes, not me because
yes.
I'm different. So I said, well, let me get out of bed. Let me go get a Red Rock. Let me drink it. And then, you know, I'll go off to work. I walked out of my bedroom to the stairs to go downstairs and immediately, felt nauseous, got sick, had to run to the bathroom and was just vomiting. And I was weak. I kind of crawled back into the bed and my husband kind of looked at me and he was like, what's wrong with you? And I said, I don't feel well. I'm having chest pains. And he just kind of looked. And I told him, I said, you know, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. I just need to lay here for a minute. But I can only describe it as a God moment. Because he's used to me. He was used to me going to work sick. That was just kind of what I did. If I could get up and get dressed, I was going to work. I'm a teacher. And I loved, okay. you know, teaching my children. And I didn't like to miss work because it was actually more complicated to miss work than it was to just go sick. So I don't know what it was. Yes, I do. God nudged him because when he looked at me and he said, do I need to call an ambulance? And in the back of my mind, I thought, well, that's an odd question. And in the front of my mind, I said, no, in the front of my mind, I was getting ready to say no, but the word yes came out of my mouth. So he called 911 and called for an ambulance. He helped me get downstairs. I'm lying on the sofa, chest pains. I'm trying to, you know, adjust and roll over and move. The paramedics showed up and they said, you know, what's wrong? And he said, my wife is having chest pains. And so she took my blood pressure and she looked, I'm just a talking.
Devil is a liar.
Talking. And I looked down. I was like, oh.
Yep. What's going on? Now I can. Yes, you're back on. Yes.
Okay. So it was, my phone was auto locking. So I had to take the auto lock off.
Okay.
Where did I stop?
So you were on the couch.
I was on the couch. Yes. So the paramedics essentially told my husband, asked him, what hospital do you want us to take her to? And I said, well, why am I going to the hospital? Because I have this very sort of cynical, quirky sense of humor. Mm-hmm. And the paramedic looked at me. She said, because ma'am, you're having a heart attack. And I said, oh. Well, I guess we should go to the hospital then.
Wow.
And my husband told them what hospital to take me to. And this was when I knew the seriousness of it. She said, if we take her to that hospital, she'll die on the way. She won't make it.
Oh.
And I said, oh, okay. So we get to the hospital. And the last two things that I remember consciously is I remember being in the ambulance and seeing my husband getting in his car. And then I remember them wheeling in me into the ER and seeing my husband standing outside the door.
Mm.
The next conscious memory I have is being in ICU. Mm. And my husband looking at me and saying, do you know? No, he didn't say, do you know what happened? He said, your parents are on the way. And they had the breathing tube, you know, in my mm-hmm. in my throat.
Yes.
And I just kind of looked and I was like, and I was trying, I actually was trying to pull it out.
Mm.
And I remember, you know, pulling off the tape and trying to pull it out and my husband trying to hold my arm and the nurse trying to hold the other arm and whatever. And then I don't remember anything else until I woke up in ICU, which I found out was 4 or 5 days later.
Wow.
So what happened was I had what is commonly referred to as a widowmaker heart attack. So it's when there's a blockage in the main aortic artery mm-hmm. in your heart. And it's called a widowmaker because traditionally men are the ones that get these kind of heart attacks and they usually don't survive. Hence their wives become widows.
Interesting. Wow.
So I found out when I finally, you know, came to and kind of asked them, my husband asked me, do you know what happened? I was like, no. He said, you had a heart attack. And I was just like, oh, okay. So when do I get to go home?
Mm.
I've got stuff I got to do. I was actually training for the Peachtree Road Race, which is the largest 10K in the world. And it's a big deal here in Georgia. So wow. I was a runner. Mm. I used to run 5 miles every morning
wow.
at 5 a.m. I was drinking all of the green smoothies stuff, yep. and eating all the kale and drinking my water and all of that.
Mm.
So for me to have a heart attack, my cardiologist said, eventually told me, he said, you know, when you came into the hospital, he said, you were dying. And they actually told my husband that he needed to call my parents And they needed to get on the first flight that they could from Boston because they
Wow.
weren't sure that I was going to make it through the weekend.
Wow.
They told my father, they told my husband this, they told my daughter this, who at the time was home for spring break from college. They told my best friend. My husband called my best friend called my parents and said, Chantrese had a heart attack. They don't think she's going to make it through the weekend. And literally my parents had to figure out how to get from Boston to Atlanta. Thankfully, they, like my father said, that he was just throwing stuff in a suitcase. They got to the airport and there were no available seats on any flights leaving out of Boston.
Boston.
And he told the gate agent or the ticket agent, he said, my daughter had a heart attack. She's in Georgia. They don't think she's going to make it. We have to get there. And this older white couple heard my parents and said, we'll give up our seats.
Look at God.
So they transferred the tickets to my parents, and my parents were able to get to Atlanta. But my cardiologist told me that the night that I came in, the day that I came to the hospital, that there were three men who came in with the exact same types of heart attacks. So there were four of us in the hospital at the same time. I am the only one that
Who
survived.
survived?
And he said, what saved you? He said, I'm convinced is that you were so healthy. My cholesterol was fine. In terms of any cardiovascular issues, the only cardiovascular issue that I had was this one blocked artery, which we found out much later was related to the fact that I have an autoimmune disease called lupus. And
I'll be.
that one blocked artery came from, they think, from just the fact that I have lupus, and that every time they would, and with an autoimmune disease like lupus, what it does is your immune system attacks itself. And so my immune system thought that I was a virus, and so it was triggering my immune response. So while they were trying to give me these life-saving drugs, my immune system was confused and was attacking the life-saving drugs. And so they couldn't get anything into my veins. All of my veins collapsed. All of my organs started to fail. My mother was in ICU, and she said that there was a moment that I was bleeding out, and they couldn't figure out where the blood was coming from. And every time they tried to move me, my heart would stop. And so they couldn't move me. And my mother told me, she said, all I could think of was, I'm going to sit here and watch my only child die. But glory be to God,
Yes, ma'am.
the cardiologist who ended up being my cardiologist came in, I guess, told them to do something. And they were able to do whatever it is that they did and were able to stop the bleeding, figure out where I was bleeding out and get that fixed. But all of my veins collapsed, my organs were failing. And when I came to, I was in really bad shape, but I was alive. The first thing that I realized, as my husband is talking to me and I'm trying to figure out when I can go home and start training for this road race,
Not yeah.
was that I no longer had any feeling or movement in my legs. From the waist down, I couldn't move my legs. And so I thought that my husband had gotten it wrong. I said, well, clearly I had a stroke because I'm paralyzed from the waist down. So clearly it was a stroke, not a heart attack. Well, no, it was a heart attack. When they were attempting to get the stent into the artery so they could clear the blockage, they couldn't go through the veins in my arms because the veins in my arms
It collapsed.
had collapsed. So they had to go through an artery in my groin.
Wow.
And they tried on the left side and couldn't get through. So then they tried on the right side and they were able to get through. But in doing so, they tore up all of the nerves in my legs. So when I came to in the hospital after surviving this massive heart attack, I was partially paralyzed from the waist down. That's when I looked at, when I finally got out of ICU, I actually went into a room, got placed in a room on Easter Sunday. After being in ICU for 5 or 6 days. And that was the first time I was able to get a good look at my feet. My toes and my feet were completely black because when I was unconscious, I had no blood flow going to my extremities. And what ended up happening, in fact, my fingers were black, my fingertips were black, the tops of my ears were black, my toes, my feet were black. And essentially what happened was that the tissue had died.
Yeah.
And so because the tissue had died and there was no blood flowing to my extremities, infection set in. And so when the infection set in, now it didn't set in my fingers or in my ears, but it set in my feet and my legs to the degree that after surviving a heart attack, after realizing that I am now partially paralyzed from the waist down, the infectious disease doctor came in and did blood work and said, okay, well, you have an infection and we're going to have to amputate your right leg. And I remember being in the hospital kind of blinking like, what do you mean? And he said, well, the infection, you have an infection, and if you don't amputate, then, you know, it'll get in your bloodstream that could kill you. My mother, who is an epidemiologist by profession, she's a master researcher, heard that and they, like, immediately went into mama research mode. She's pulled out of her computer. She started researching stuff. And she's like, it's okay because we'll just get you, you know, some prosthetic legs. It's going to be fine. Go team. And so I was like,
wow.
Okay. So they amputated my all of the toes off of my left foot. And then they amputated my right leg below the knee. They sent me back up to the room. And I'm thinking, okay, it's going to be fine. It's going to be okay. The next day, he came back in and said, took more blood. And he said, the infection is still spreading. We need to amputate above your knee now. Wow. So I had two amputations in a 24-hour period. And I remember the first time I looked at my legs without... my right leg without the rest of my leg, and then my left leg without my toes. And I just remember thinking, I was training for a race. What am I supposed to do with this? So to make a very long story short, I was in the hospital. I spent about a total of 4 months in the hospital, 60 days in the hospital recovering from my heart attack and my first amputations, another month in rehab, and then another month in the hospital for another infection in what was left of my left foot, and then a subsequent other amputation. So when I finally got home to stay, I was partially paralyzed from the waist down and a bilateral lower limb amputee all at the age of 45.
Wow.
And that is when my story truly begins. Because I had to, between 2018 to now, it has been a journey of me rebuilding my life, of learning how to live again. And what I tell people often is that I really was at a crossroads in my life because my faith was shot. God couldn't possibly be real because if he was, then none of this would have happened.
Yes.
And that when You know, we had the prayer warriors on the wall praying, just all kinds of people, just across the country, people, family, friends, people were posting. They weren't posting on Facebook because I didn't tell anybody, but the people who were close to me, they were calling, you know, churches, and just, we were praying and praying, and nothing changed. And so to me, it was everything that I was taught about God was a lie. Everything that I believed to be true about God was a lie. And yeah, I'm just going to waste away because this can't be real life. Wow. When I was home, I think I was home maybe a couple of weeks. One of my my surrogate mothers came over. She was one of the few people who I actually would allow to come see me at the hospital, aside from my best friend and my family. And she was the only one who was really allowed in my house. And she came, and she had to sit with me because I couldn't do anything for myself. We live in a two-story townhome. I couldn't get upstairs. The doors in my house and our home were too narrow for my wheelchair to get like into a bathroom. So I had to have like a bedside commode in the living room. There were a lot of things that I could not do. And so she came to sort of, you know, take care of me and sit with me. And I was angry. And I was angry. I don't know any other, you know, nice way to put it. I was cussing. I was angry and I was mean. And I was mean because I was angry. And she told me that she was in prayer. She said, I want you to know that I'm mad at God too. And I told him I was mad at God. I'm mad at you. And the scripture that God gave me to give to you is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. And she said, and this is the scripture God told me to give you. And I remember she told me that, and I wanted to cuss her out and put her out of my house. He said, what now? you can get out. But it sat with me. And I said, God, if this is somehow part of your plan for my life, you're going to have to prove it to me because I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I don't trust you. This is BS. And I hate you. And I often tell people, because, you know, I was raised to believe that you couldn't tell God that you were bad.
That's right. Yeah.
You're not supposed to question God. And then when I was in the hospital, when the chaplains told me, she said, who told you that lie? And I was like, everybody? She said, did Jesus question God? And I was like, Yeah, he did, didn't he? And she said, yes. She said, so what makes you any different or any better? And so that was the beginning of me taking my life back from this moment in time. And I got through 2018. 2018 was a pivotal year. My daughter turned 21. She graduated from college a semester early. And so I had to do a lot of things scared. I took my, you know, I promised her when she was 20 that we would go and have mimosas for her 21st birthday. And she was not backing down from that promise. So I had to go out in public for the first time, you know, as an amputee. And that was scary because, you know, I didn't know how people would respond to me. I was embarrassed. I felt ugly. I was also very, very swollen because of all the medication they had me on and just the trauma of what I had experienced. And so I felt hideous. It was just bad. But 2018, what I tell people, it was my year of pushing. I had to push myself for the sake of my daughter. And she graduated from LSU. And so we had to fly to Louisiana. So that was my first flight, you know, as an amputee in a wheelchair. So we got through 2018. 2019 showed up, and I forgot that in early in 2018, I applied to speak at a conference in Chicago. Didn't realize that I had gotten accepted until I got an email in early 2019 saying, hey, we never heard from you. And I'm like, oh, I'm not getting ready to speak at a conference. You're crazy. My mother, once again, you know, she jumped in with my father backing her up. And she said, no, you're going to do this conference. And I'm like, no, I'm not. So she actually went into my email. I don't know how, but she went into my email and agreed, signed all the stuff. And she's just like, and I got an email saying, thank you for your confirmation. I'm like, I didn't confirm anything. And I looked up at my mother and she's kind of looking in her paper. I was like, oh, no, you did not. And she's just like, I told you, you go into this conference.
That's right. Jeremiah 29:11.
And so not only did I go to the conference, I made it up in my mind that I was going to lean into one of my traits, which is that I'm stubborn. I'm extremely stubborn. And I got tired of not being, of sitting in the house, and I got tired of not being able to do for myself. And so it became a challenge. Okay, yes. What can I do? So the first thing that I did was we got me a lightweight wheelchair that I could take apart and throw in the car when it was time for me to drive. I got hand controls on my car so that I could drive myself. So, the very first person who took me out on the highway was my daughter. When we got back to the house, she's like, okay. I was like, okay, what? She's like, get in the car, we go and drive. And I'm like, ma'am, can I get a day? She's like, no. I was like, who is your mother? And she's like, this stubborn lady. I was like, oh, okay.
That's right.
And so 2019 was the year that I drove my car again, and I spoke at a national education conference, and I gave myself a photo shoot so that I could sort of reclaim my confidence. And then it just went on from there. I was getting, I began to heal on social media. I began to share my journey on social media. So people were inboxing me. It's like, hey, can you be on this podcast? Hey, can we interview you for this magazine? Hey, can we do this? And so 2019 was the year that I kind of came out of my shell. And then 2020 was the year that I really began to blossom, even in a pandemic. I started, I wrote a, let me back up. In 2019, I wrote a book about my journey, which is Shoes Without Feet. And that was published in October. And it's part devotional, part Bible study, part autobiography, part fiction. It is very much me and all of my personality. And I tell people, I said, if you want a book that's going to make you cry, this is it. If you want a book that's going to make you laugh, this is it. If you want a book that's going to, that has some fiction in it, this is it. If you want a book that's part devotional, this is it. If you want a book that has some scripture in it, this is it. It's all of that.
And it's all of that.
All of that. And so I did that in 2019. In 2020, I wrote, well, I started a Facebook group called Resilient and Winning, where I work with, or I show primarily women, Gen X women, my age group, how to build their resilience after a setback, because that's essentially what I had to do. I had to rebuild my life. Yes. And when you get down, it's really easy to stay there, because oftentimes getting back up is harder than just lying there.
Harder than getting down. Yes, it is.
But for me, lying around was more difficult because I was always on the go. I was always, you know, here, there, and everywhere, and I missed my life. And so I started my Facebook group in, when did I start? April, May, June, somewhere around there, April, I think. And right now we're about 890 members.
Wow.
So I help women, you know,
891, because I'm getting ready to join.
Okay, well, amen. Come on. Where we talk about, and I give lessons, and I do a video once a week on a Monday to kind of, you know, help people get set up for the week. and start focusing on those things. What God gave me in my recovery is what is trademarked now as the resilience reset, which is a set of 7 principles that I used to reclaim my life. So I took that and I created my Facebook group, and then I wrote another book, and it is called Noah Had an Ark, You Need a Raft, Resilience and Flexible Thinking, How Changing Your Thoughts Can Change Your Life. So I started working on that in 2019. Oh, I did my first TED Talk in 2019, all about flexible thinking and how flexible thinking saved my life. And 2020, I had more opportunities to speak places. They were more virtual, but 2020 was a great year for me. I started a writing workshop for students in my community when they started going into virtual school
learning.
Virtual learning. Yes. There were parents who were concerned that, you know, their kids were going to, you know, miss out on things. And so as an English teacher, I did a writer's workshop during the summer for students in grades 5 through 11, where we focused on learning how to write really good, solid argumentative essays and narrative essays. And then I told them that, you know, because a lot of them didn't want to be there, you know, during the summer. I don't blame them. I said, well, if you do the writer's workshop with me, I'll take your essays and I'll put them and I'll turn them into a book, and you'll be a published author before the end of 2020. And they didn't believe me. And then December 1st, 2020, a book came out called In Their Own Words, and it was their essays.
Yes. Yep.
It was their essays that I had put into a book, and it took off like wildfire. Wow. The kids, you know, I was getting phone calls from parents who were just, you know, they were just tickled because the kids were walking around, you know, with their chests all poked out, like, yeah, I'm a published author. I'm only in the 5th grade. So, you know, it was just really, really, really joyous to see them and see their pride, because their essays were really, really good. And I told the parents, I said, I didn't edit their essays. You know, I may have put a comma here and I may have put a period there. I said, but what you read is what they wrote. And it's what they wrote after spending a week with me. And so, you know, God really, really blessed that. And
you the sister, I have to tell you this, and I'm gonna stop only because I want them to know that, you know, that when you went through this journey, she says, oh, you know, I didn't feel ugly, you know, I was bloated, so and so and so. Please do me a favor, people listening, go to her website. Sister Girl Fly. Trust and believe.
Thank you.
Eyebrows kicking, the glasses, and I saw it without all that too. So I see the website and I saw it without all that.
Uh-huh.
Girlfriend kicking. Okay, so you know, sometimes we look at each other. Girlfriend got herself together, y'all. Trust and believe. You have got to go on the website, look at these books, and I'm telling you, Shoes Without Feet, already ordering. Noah Had an Ark. I'm telling you, young folks. And parents, you can give it to your kids. Mm-hmm. This is a woman of substance. Right here, this is a woman of substance. And I know I didn't really have to ask any questions because I knew that you were just going to let it flow. From the beginning, I told you that. And I think, if you remember, I told you from the beginning, I said, you're going to be first one. Because I knew that it wasn't even just the journey. It was the spirit that I heard inside and not knowing everything about you.
Well, amen.
So this is... I'm telling you right now, guys, you have got to get on board with this sister. Go on her website, look and see what she has to offer, because there's something for you. Because we all need that comeback power, that resilience.
Right, right.
Strong, you know, vibrant. Someone who's going to get you to the next step. And just think of everything that she's been through. And God still has her here because there's a purpose. He's not done with her yet.
Oh yeah, no, I am.
Jeremiah 29:11, y'all.
And the other thing about it is that God showed me and made very clear. God and I got real, real close, real, real close. Mm-hmm. That what I tell people often is this: all of us have a story, and some of us are afraid to tell our story because we're afraid of what people might think. But here's what God showed me. He said, your life is not your own, and your story isn't either. And that we go through the challenges and the trials and the tribulations, not for ourselves. We go through them for people that we don't even know yet.
Right.
And what's funny is that I used to tell my students this all the time, that I believed that. And it wasn't until I had this situation in my life that God confirmed that what I had been telling my students all along was right. That's because right. the fact of the matter right. Is that I've actually had people come to me and say, I read your book and it saved my life.
Mm.
Thank you for writing this book, because if you had not written this book, I wouldn't know that I could make it. So see, your story is attached to someone else's destiny.
It sure enough is.
And if you don't tell your story, then you're blocking what someone God else. Wants to do in that person's life, because they can't hear what it is that you have to say, because you're holding on to it, because you're embarrassed and you're ashamed. So I tell my story. It's bad now. So tell me your story. Okay, well, here you go. Here it is. I'm gonna tell you. Sure you want to hear the story? All right.
Yes, that's it.
And that's the story. It has become not so much my mantra, but it is, I'm not ashamed of it. If it draws somebody closer to God, awesome. If it encourages people to keep putting, you know, one step in front of the other, awesome. Since I wrote my book, I've actually had people that I know who have become amputees. Like people that I know who said, I just ordered your book and it's helping me
through ordeal.
To get through, you know, my ordeal. I've had people who are battling illnesses. One of my neighbor, her husband just passed away last week. And she had been reading my book while he was in the hospital and, you know, finding encouragement and finding, you know, a source of strength. And she told me, she said, I miss my husband and my heart is broken. She said, but if I had not been reading your book while he was in the hospital, I wouldn't have known that it's okay to be angry.
Yes.
And that somehow, some way, God is going to make this all right. Yes, so tell your story, regardless of what it is, because you could be saving somebody's life.
Else's life. That's it. I got to tell you, you know, you're going to have to come back on, right?
Anytime. You let me know.
You don't blow up too big. Well, I know that wouldn't even hurt anyway, because I know that you're humble and I know you would still reach out.
And I would.
Because honestly, I honestly feel and I believe in my heart and in my spirit too. And this is the only way, you know, this is a great way to end the podcast. Is like you said, your life is not your own. And your story, you're supposed to tell your story to help the next one. Because this life is all about sharing.
Right.
It's not about keeping it. It's not about keeping it. So ladies, I want y'all to.
And you can find me on social media, on Instagram and Twitter.
Please let them know.
At Dr. Chantrice. You can find me on Facebook at Chantrice Holloman. That's my personal page. My personal page is public. So you don't have to friend me. You could just find me and follow me. And then my website is www.drchantrice.com. And if you want to see my TED Talk that I did, if you go to YouTube and type in my name, Chantrice Holloman, followed by amputee, AMPUTEE. That's the easiest way to find it. It's the very first thing that pops up. And then you can watch my TED Talk. And I think I got some other stuff on YouTube. I don't ever know what's on YouTube, but there's some other stuff on there.
Check it out. I'm going to check it out myself personally.
Okay.
And I can't tell you how much, you know, I love you this evening. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. No, I'm very humble. that you shared this. And I'm quite sure it helped a lot of people, because I know that it is bestilling my heart, and it's pushing me to be even more and to do more that I can do. So I thank you this evening. I love you, my sister.
And you keep doing what you're
doing. I am. Keep doing what you're doing. We need you.
Amen.
We need you. And she fly, y'all. Don't let her twist it, girl. I'm telling you. She fly. She got the red, my favorite color, with the red shoes. She fly, y'all. Doctor, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a great evening.
You too.
I'll hear from you soon.
Shoes with No Feet, Dr. Shantrese Sims Holloman. I just wanted to touch up on Jeremiah 29:11. Sometimes you can't drop things, drop nuggets, and you don't really put the whole word out. So let me just say something about Jeremiah 29:11. Knowing that it is not a promise to immediately rescue us from hardship or suffering, but rather a promise that God has a plan for our lives. And regardless of our current situation, He can work through it to prosper us and give us hope. And if you just listened to this journey of this sister, there is a hope and there is a story that we needed to hear from her. Your story must be told. Everybody on this planet has a story. You will tell that story some kind of way. It doesn't have to be motivational speaking, but the story will be told. It could be done in a book, a song. It could be in the way you handle yourself. Someone else will see you and say, "Hey, I like her story." I pray that you got something out of this podcast tonight. And if you didn't, I'm sorry to say, then something is wrong with you. And that's kind of hard. Oh, how could you say that? Because there was so much to get from this. Really, think about it. One day you wake up, you have your feet, and the next day you don't. Come on, y'all. Open your eyes. Live your best life. Stay healthy, she said. Remember, 4 came into the hospital. She was the only one who came out. That's God's grace and mercy. Have a blessed and wonderful evening. Happy blessings for Black History Month. We salute all our sisters that was on the podcast for this month. And I pray each and every one of them good health, prosperous life, blessings to their family and children. Thank you, Dr. Shantrese. We love you. From the I'm Not Scared podcast, this is Dawn Benjamin signing out tonight. Blessings.